This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Necessary, Not Casual, by Eric Lewis. Lynette was excited, though she knew she shouldn't have been. Just a patrol, she told herself. It's just another patrol. Except it wasn't. Today was her turn up front, in the lead. Parham had complained that 14 was too young to be granted full privileges, to be a full member of the King's Herons Rangers. But what did she know? The war had left the independent band of forest defenders severely undermanned, and such precious concerns seemed foolish to Lynette. Besides, Eros had vouched for her readiness. That was what mattered. Lynette stole a glance at her mentor while he strung his bow in the armory, nervous that she was being judged already. The man's face was unreadable as always.
"Ready to head out?"
"I think so," Lynette answered. Her voice cracked just a bit, and she hoped to all the gods that that idiot Bragan hadn't heard.
"Liar."
Eris jerked his chin behind Lynette, where a full quiver of arrows leaned against the wall.
"Yeah, you might need those. I mean, hopefully not, but maybe."
"Crap!" Lynette laced the quiver to her belt, red-faced, fingers fumbling awkwardly while a cruel chuckle taunted her.
"Shut up, Bragan," Eris snapped. "Unless you'd like to share the glorious story of your first up front."
Silence.
"Listen," he said, laying his hand on Lynette's shoulder.
"Calm down. You know what to do. You've trained for it all your life. Hells, you fought in a war at a younger age than most of us did. This is child's play, yeah?"
"I guess," Lynette said with a sigh. "I didn't do much fighting, though. Never even killed an enemy."
"Be thankful for that. Okay, you're set. Once we step outside the lodge, you're the boss. Lead on."
The lodge was a marvel of engineering, a stone hall hewn from underground caves with its own water source and ventilation system, all concealed from sight on the slope of a forested mountainside. The ideal secret base from which to prowl the marchlands on the lookout for bandits, raiders, and associated riffraff. Lynette frowned as she stepped from its hidden northern portal, feeling very exposed all of a sudden.
"Don't be so glum," said Eros. "Patrol is a small price to pay for freedom from his fluffy grace the king calls the ordered security of feudalism."
"Ordered security?"
Bragan sneered as he hopped out of the narrow entrance into the noonday sun.
"Ha! I'd like to see any noble hooplehead just try and bend my knee."
"Quiet," said Lynette with more confidence than she felt.
"We're in the open now. Run silent."
Eros gave her an approving nod, and they hunkered into a crouch and fanned out to leave no tracks on the ground as they went. They were six, half a sheaf, as they said. Eros, Bragan, Vander, Drissa, Athewin,
and me, Lynette thought. Couldn't they have added someone close to my age?
Though it was satisfying to be able to order Bragan around. She'd chosen a patrol route that would take them past a nearby clearing within sight of Old Fort Nostrado, and only a quarter mile from Firely Ford. It was a route she'd followed many times, and as the afternoon wore on, her mind began to wander. Thus, it was with a great sense of shock that Lynette stepped around a wide tree and came face to face with the stranger. It was a face that would haunt the rest of her days, as it turned out. One look gave away the fellow's station. He was grizzled, dirty, and wild-eyed. A veteran, most likely. An outlaw, most definitely. Lynette locked eyes with him for only a split second, but time enough for him to pull a knife and slash clumsily at the lanky girl. Lynette stumbled back as the outlaw made a break for it.
"Ah, alarum!"
Lynette almost squeaked it as she tripped.
"Ultimi! Here!"
Out of the trees, the others began to appear, blades and bows at the ready. From the clearing in front of him, a woman equally disheveled stood with a rusty sword in hand.
"You little wench," she growled. "Teach you to sneak up on—" Ah!
An arrow appeared in her shoulder. A Thaewyn charged the woman and locked blades with her own long knife. Vander appeared behind the woman and drew her blade across the woman's throat, but not before Thaewyn took a slash to the arm, tripping over the loot strewn at their feet. An assortment of goods, all freshly stolen from unwary travelers, no doubt. By the time Lynette shuffled back to her feet, Eros had arrived to punch her in the arm.
"Hey, after the other. Be sure the rest of the gang's nearby."
They chased the bandit down, his loud tramping through the woods an easy trail to follow. Drissa shot an arrow that missed, but caused him to lose balance when it whizzed by. Lynette slid to a halt to knock an arrow of her own. The man tumbled down a short incline to land on his rear in a muddy puddle. Lynette had him in her sights. No one else did. The man stood halfway, saw Lynette's arrow aimed straight at him, a beat.
"Shoot!"
called Bragan, still a ways off.
"Shoot him!"
The man shook his head slightly.
"No."
An intimate, pleading gesture no one else would ever have seen. Lynette's arm began to waver at the strain of holding the bowstring taut.
"Shoot!"
she ordered herself.
"What's wrong with you?"
Out of nowhere, Eros materialized, tackling the outlaw back into the mud. Lynette relaxed an arching arm while they wrestled. Eros came out on top, his victim spitting curses, and arm twisted backward, already tied to the other with a stretch of cord produced from somewhere. Lynette skidded down the hillock to help, but it was already over. The others formed a circle around their captive, a Thaewyn holding a bloody arm close.
"All right, up, get up!"
Eros dragged the outlaw to his feet and tied a gag over his mouth lest he cry out to any others nearby.
"I'd say we can cut patrol a bit short today. You agree?"
Lynette was a moment realizing Eros was addressing her.
Yeah, sure,
she stammered.
"I guess so."
Eros nodded to a Thaewyn.
"You hurt bad."
The ill-tempered woman shook her head once.
"Nothing can't be stitched up. One more scar for the collection. But can we go now?"
They made a straight line back to the lodge, single file. No one remarked on Lynette taking the rearmost position, but Bragan spared a moment to turn back and smack her upside the head.
"Nice going, genius. Next time you get a clear shot, you fraggin' shoot. You hear me?"
"Bragan!"
barked Eros from the front.
"Can it?"
Lynette fell farther back, wishing she were invisible, wishing she could erase all memory of the disaster that had come of her first up front.
"They'll never promote me now."
"I'm actually not at all surprised," said Eros between sips of mint tea. "It was bound to happen. Soldiers get used to taking what they want in wartime, then get cheated out of their pensions, can't handle when peace returns. It was only a matter of time till they started infesting the Marchwood."
Perrim frowned for the 100th time from the opposite end of the council table. Sunset's twilight danced across her face, filtered through the waterfall that concealed the lodge's only window. The conference room was the most secure part of the lodge, the King's Heron's sanctum sanctorum. But to Lynette, it now seemed more a prison, and she shifted uncomfortably on the bench set alongside the table.
"And," Perrim continued, "you think there are more lurking around?"
"No doubt," replied Eros. "Only two this far out here? No way. There are more nearby, I'm sure. I say we put our captive to the question as to that."
"Agreed."
She turned to Lynette, a look of sympathy.
"I'm sorry about all this. It was just supposed to be a plain old patrol. It's my fault, really. I knew you were too young."
"Ahem," coughed Eros, a bit too obviously. "Actually, I'd say just about the opposite."
"Oh?"
It was Lynette's cool-headed forbearance that let us capture the rogue alive. Any information we get out of the man, credit it to her. Lynette sat with dropped jaw, and Parham eyed the pair with suspicion.
If you say so.
I do. Eris's words had an air of finality that insisted the matter was closed. Now, I think tonight is a good time as any for the promotion. Parham waved them away.
Fine, fine. I'll be there. Just leave me alone for now. I have to arrange for the proper care of our, guest. Go, and send in Bragan.
Only when the chamber door was shut tight behind them did Lynette let out a nervous exhale.
Wow. Thanks.
Eris raised an eyebrow. For what? Everything I said was true.
But cool-headed? I froze. At the most important moment.
That's one interpretation, and I don't hold to it. Killing should never be casual, even when it's necessary. Otherwise, we're just as bad as the lords out there in the world. I won't have to worry about that with you.
But what if it is necessary, and I can't?
Better that than the other way round. Listen, don't worry right now. Tonight, you get your sword and bow. Relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, about that.
Lynette looked at her feet, suddenly a bit nauseated.
I don't know if I feel too comfortable with this.
Eris let out a hearty laugh, clapped the girl on the back.
How you feel about it is irrelevant. Get used to that. The others need this. Been too long since the last one.
What's gonna happen to the bandit? Parham called him our guest, but I don't think...
Look, said Eris, leaning in close so his voice wouldn't echo down the stone hallway. He's inside the lodge now, so it's a matter of internal security, meaning it's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know.
Thankfully, neither do I. Just try not to trip over your own feet tonight. Last chance you'll get to make me look bad, so you better not.
Lynette knew the joke was meant to put her at her ease, but it didn't. Not really.
We give up a lot to live like we do. We take no husband, no wife. We beget no children. We come from the orphaned, the unwanted, the forgotten. But while we live free. We bend knee to no one on this earth. We let the world alone, and the world lets us alone. And when it doesn't, we strike, in a chain unbroken for 200 years. Tonight, we'll forge a new link in that chain. Lynette!
Yes, ma'am?
Get your ass up here!
Laughter rippled through the crowd. Lynette shoved past her fellows, who took great delight in hindering her progress. Overhead, two crescent moons shone weakly through the trees. In the entabled meteor shower that presaged the end of summer, they'd gathered in a grove just outside the southeast portal, illuminated by a few peripheral fires, and Lynette couldn't help but notice how thin the attendance was. Eris was right. The war had taken its toll.
Please don't let me screw this up, too,
she prayed as she approached Parham. She held up the instruments, just like they'd practiced.
What are these?
Parham's voice seemed to boom through the trees. Lynette cleared her throat and took a breath.
A sword, ma'am, and a bow.
Your sword and bow?
No, ma'am. They belong to my brothers and sisters.
Except Bragan, Lynette thought privately.
Screw that guy.
Then why should I give them to you?
Because...
Even now, she found it hard to say the words, still feeling very much the charlatan.
Because I am a king's heron. My skill and loyalty are proven by service, by judgment. I live and die for my fellows, and they for me.
Is this true?
Eris stepped forward and gave a shrug.
Well...
More laughter. Lynette shot him a terrified glance, and Eris grinned.
Yeah, sure. It's true.
Smartass. Give me my weapons. I'll put them to good purpose. Yeah, right.
Then come take them. Lynette had checked the weapons out of the armory many times, then dutifully put them back later, unused. To be given a set of her own for as long as she lived? Well, that was a very different thing. She'd chosen a bow of simple but fine manufacture, yew with ramshorn nocks, much like the one Perrim had carried during the war before being broken in a battle. The sword was short and of the old leaf-shaped style, like the one Eros carried. Lynette reached out with quivering hands.
Gone!
The wild howl made her jump, made everyone jump. Heads turned as one toward the disturbance, and Vander appeared out of the darkness to fight his way to the center of the gathering.
He's gone!
Who? Demanded Perrim, eyes blazing fire at the interruption.
Who's gone?
The prisoner! The bandit!
Vander said between heavy breaths.
We were taking him for interrogation, and he surprised Cord. Broke his nose. There weren't many guards cause of, well...
He spread his hands, encompassing the gathering.
He just ran straight out the front door.
Gods, curse it all,
spat Eros.
If he tells his buddies where we are...
After him, ordered Perrim.
Now, go, everyone!
Like a hive of hornets suddenly roused to anger, the crowd broke.
But where? Which way?
The same direction he fled the first time, I'd wager, said Eros.
But... I don't remember exactly which way that...
I do,
blurted Lynette.
I know exactly. I've been there.
Then lead the way.
Eros grabbed the bow Perrim still held and pressed it unceremoniously into Lynette's hands.
Let's go.
They flitted through the night forest like bloodthirsty fairies, still remarkably silent for all their haste. Lynette ducked around trees, hopped over rocks and logs as the evening wind whipped through her hair. At some point, she became aware of a Thaewyn running awkwardly next to her, arm bound to her side with bandages.
Here,
a Thaewyn huffed while holding something in her other hand.
Carried it out of habit. No use to me now.
It was her arrow quiver.
Of course.
Lynette had been in such a hurry she'd forgotten, once again, to take arrows.
Thanks.
She answered, grabbing the leather tube and tucking it under one arm. A Thaewyn fell back while the others charged downhill, past the place where Lynette had first stumbled upon the outlaws, then past the place where she'd failed to shoot. And all at once, Lynette realized where they were headed. There was an old priory of the Polytheon near where the hills met the river, long abandoned by the brothers. The perfect hideout for bandits. Lynette had often played there when she was younger, back when there'd been time for more than training, and patrols, and wars.
Close now.
When the crumbled tower of the priory was visible in the moonlight above the trees, Lynette halted and held up a fist. Without thinking about it, she spread her palm parallel to the ground, then knelt straight down as she'd seen Eros do so many times before. Like magic, a dozen or so shadowy forms behind her followed suit, obedient to the command.
That can't be right,
a little voice in her head insisted.
There's been some mistake. Get to the rear.
Yet she kept advancing forward, concealed by undergrowth. They surrounded the priory, and hushed voices could be heard coming from inside. Through a low, broken window, the dull glow of fire flickered. Eros crept up next to Lynette, crouched behind the remains of a courtyard wall, and whispered,
"Good work. I'll take half a sheaf inside. You stay with the others and watch the perimeter."
"Right,"
answered Lynette, drawing an arrow and knocking it to her new bow. Suddenly, her hand began to shake again, just a little.
"Listen," said Eros. "You know what we have to do here. They cannot be allowed to tell anyone about us."
"I know, I know."
Eros nodded.
"All right, then."
He motioned to five others, and as one, they burst across the priory courtyard.
A shape appeared in the upper window of the tower, and a dark streak lanced down to skewer whoever was unfortunate enough to be last in line through the ankle. Almost immediately, a handful of shots flew through the trees at the window, and a scream echoed back. Eros and the others stormed the front door, and more screams followed. From what Lynette could hear, the number inside might have been even, but it was no even match. In a matter of seconds, a handful of angry shouts were cut short. Finally, a single figure tumbled out the broken window, flailing wildly. Lynette raised her weapon. But was it friend or foe? Others decided for her as five or six arrows again converged on one place, and the well-ventilated man collapsed. Another came charging out the door in pursuit, but even in the dark, Lynette recognized the unmistakable outline of Bragan's shaved head and goatee. "It's over," Lynette thought. "It has to be if..." "Ah!" Bragan cried out, reached around at his back where something had lodged itself. A small throwing hatchet, it looked like. Bragan sank to his knees, and a third man came out of the priory. Lynette knew this fellow very well, better than most. It was the bandit who'd been the cause of it all. He had survived the fight? No matter. Lynette stood fully, her arrow trained on the outlaw's chest while the others were yet reloading. The bandit locked eyes with Lynette once again, sneered with contempt, and raised a blade to finish Bragan off. Lynette didn't remember shooting, didn't remember any conscious decision to do so. One moment, the arrow was resting snug in the front of her bowstring, and the next, it was buried in the man's torso. Nor did she know how long she stood there after it all really was over, only that, at some point, Eros tugged on her sleeve, ordering her to help bear their wounded home. "It," she started to say, then faltered.
"What?"
"It wasn't anything like I expected. I didn't even think about it. Wasn't hard, wasn't easy. It just was."
Eros nodded. "And necessary, but not casual. Like I said, I won't need to worry about you. Consider this official permission to trust your instincts." He made a hand gesture, mocking the polytheon's benediction.
"I still feel like crap about it."
"Good. That'll make you a good leader one day. But, like I said, how you feel about it's irrelevant. One upside, Bragan owes you his life now." Lynette smiled.
"I hadn't thought of that."
"Come on, let's go."
"What about my promotion?" Lynette asked Eros
as they made their way back towards the lodge, Bragan moaning profanities atop an improvised stretcher carried between them.
"Will we have to do that nonsense ritual all over again?"
"Nah, it was finished the moment you took hold of the bow. Your bow. Bit unorthodox, but still counts, I think."
"Huh. I guess when it came down to it, I wasn't nervous then, either. Didn't have the chance to be."
"That's how it usually goes. Welcome to the club. You sure as hell's earned it." Lynette gave an exaggerated shrug, and in a mimic of Eros's gruff voice said,
"Well, yeah, sure, it's true."
Eros winced. "You're gonna get back at me for that, aren't you?"
"Oh, yes."
By day, Eric Lewis is a PhD research scientist, weathering the latest rounds of mergers and layoffs, and still trying to remember how to be a person again long after surviving grad school. In addition to subjecting his writing to one rejection after another, he can be found gathering as many different sharp and pointies as possible, and searching for the perfect hiking trail, archery range, or single malt scotch. His short fiction has been published in Nature, Electric Space, Allegory, Bards and Sages Quarterly, the anthologies Into Darkness Peering, Best Indie Speculative Fiction Volume 1, Kronos and Crash Code, as well as other venues detailed at ericlewis.inc. His debut novel, The Heron Kings is due out in spring 2020. Hey guys, I really enjoyed this piece. I liked the way it dove into the emotional aspects of becoming the hero of the story, something I find is usually not bothered with in short fiction. It's far easier to write a short story where your main character has already grown into their role. Before you leave, be sure to subscribe. This show is available on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, and just about every podcast app available. I'm Chris Heron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.